Proverbs chapter number 2. In just a little while, we're going to be looking at verse number 1 down through verse number 9. I think most of us are really very reluctant to admit this, but we all have done some pretty dumb things in our life. We might even say we've done some dumb mistakes. Now, having said that and being truthful at that point, I like to believe I'm hearing, amen, Pastor, amen. I've done some pretty dumb things in my life, but thank God he worked it out and in spite of me. And so I trust that the wives aren't elbowing their husbands and the husbands aren't elbowing their wives, but you can readily admit that we all have done dumb things before. Even those who claim to be the very smartest among us have made some very, very dumb mistakes. Perhaps you heard the story that was told to me this week about a pastor, a Boy Scout, and a computer expert who were the only passengers on a small commuter airplane. The pilot came back to the cabin and he said, "I'm sorry to inform you of this. The plane is going down, and guess what? There's only 3 parachutes, but yet 4 of us on this plane." The pilot said, "Listen, I should have one of those parachutes because I have a wife and 3 small children." So he took one of the parachutes and he jumped out the door rather quickly. The computer whiz said this, "I should have one of those parachutes because I am the smartest man in all the world and everyone needs me." So he took one and he jumped. The pastor turned to the Boy Scout and said with a rather sad smile, he said, "Young man, I have lived a full and rich life in the service of our Lord." He said, "You take the remaining parachute and I'm going to go down with the plane." The Boy Scout looked at the pastor and said, "Relax, Pastor. The smartest man in all the world just jumped out of this plane with my backpack on his back." All of us have made our share of mistakes. The truth is, everyone makes mistakes. Everyone, myself included, there is nobody excluded from this. I used to tell my boys this. I thought at one time I made a mistake, but I was wrong, amen. But listen, me, you, everybody has made some dumb mistakes. I think about dumb mistakes, first of all, made by our politicians. Today, American citizens, me and you, suffer because of, not because of anything that we have done, but because of some of the dumb mistakes that our politicians have made. And wouldn't it be wonderful if our politicians, as they did after 9/11, they came out of the Capitol building and they all sang God Bless America, and they sang the national anthem. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Nancy Pelosi and then the Republican people would all get on the steps of the Capitol and they'd come out and say, "Listen, we've really made some dumb mistakes. We're asking the American people just to forgive us for those mistakes." Instead, we're never going to find that happening. We find the Democrats blaming the Republicans. Republicans are blaming the Democrats. And no one really wants to take credit for all of the mistakes that they have made. Both political parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, have made their share of dumb mistakes in trying to govern this country. And this is the reason why our nation is in such a mess that it's in today. I think not only are politicians, but I think about criminals. I'm kind of reminded of this guy who walked into a little corner store with a shotgun and he demanded all the cash from the cash drawer. After the cashier put the cash into the bag, the robber saw a bottle of scotch that he wanted behind the counter on the shelf. He told the cashier to take that bottle of scotch and put it into the bag. But the cashier refused and he said this, "I don't believe you're 21. The robber said that he was 21. The cashier said, "I don't believe that you're 21. And he refused to give him the bottle of scotch because he didn't believe him. At that point, the robber took out his driver's license and his wallet, handed it to the clerk. The clerk looked it over and agreed, excuse me, that this man was over 21. So he took the scotch and he put it into the bag. The robber then ran very quickly from the store with his scotch and all the money that he had. The cashier promptly called the police and gave the robber's name, his address, and they got off the license. They arrested the robber 2 hours later. Listen, we've all made some dumb mistakes. Criminals make them, politicians make them, but I think athletes make them as well. Notice, even if you aren't a sports fan, I think you'll appreciate this story about a college football team whose starting quarterback had just been injured. And the number two quarterback was sick that day, and they didn't even make him dress. He was still hanging out in the locker room. He was so sick, and the trainers were treating him. All that the coach had to quarterback that day was a third-string freshman who used to quarterback in high school, but now was only being used as the team's punter. To make matters worse, the team was backed up to their own third yard line, and it was a desperate situation. And the coach's only thought was, how can I get a little farther down the field in order to punt the football to get out of this danger? So he sent in the third string quarterback, and the coach said to him as he was leaving, he said, son, I want you to hand off to the big fullback Kowalski for the next two plays. Let him run right down the middle of the line and get us a few yards of breathing room, and then I want you to punt the ball. Well, the young quarterback did as he was instructed to do. On the first play, he handed off the football to Kowalski, but almost miraculously, Kowalski found a hole off the right tackle, and he ran for 50 yards. The young quarterback called the same play once again. And once more, miracle of miracles, the right hole opened back up again, and Kowalski gained another 45 yards. The fans at this time were going crazy. In two plays, they have gained 95 yards, and the ball was on their opponent's two-yard line, and it was first down, goal to goal. Confidently, the team lined up once again. The young quarterback received the snap, stepped back, to everyone's amazement, punted the ball into the end zone. And as his stunned teammates came off the field, the coach very angrily grabbed his third-string quarterback, and he asked him, what in the world were you thinking when you called that last play? The quarterback looked at his coach and simply said this, I was thinking what a dumb coach we have, amen. Truth of the matter is we've all done some very dumb things in our lifetimes. And we all need to pray daily for wisdom to make some good decisions. I began to think about this thought this week. Why don't people pray for wisdom in making daily decisions? You know, oftentimes it happens this way. As we go about our day, we do what we think we need to do. And then when things fall apart, then and only then do we come to a Heavenly Father and say, God, I messed this up. I need your wisdom to help me straighten it out. And I believe there's a couple of reasons why that we don't go to God to begin with. And I think that wisdom starts with humility. And I think that we live in a very proud society. And most people really are not smart enough to admit that they are dumb. And a lot of people are never going to benefit from the wisdom from above because they know it all. And they don't feel they need to humble themselves to ask God for wisdom. But those who are truly going to be successful in this life and in our Christian walk, we need the wisdom from above to have wisdom and understanding down here below. And I think the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is this. Why is heavenly wisdom so important? Why is God's wisdom better than our earthly wisdom? I think Abraham Lincoln hit it right, the nail on the head when he said this, I've been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and those about me seemed insufficient for their days. Listen, there are times in life when we don't know what to do. And when those times come, we need to get on our knees like Abraham Lincoln and seek the wisdom of God. Well, let's look here at Proverbs 2 and begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 9. And we'll see how we can obtain wisdom from above for our understanding below. Notice the Bible said in Proverbs 2 beginning in verse number 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou inclinest thine ears unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Let's bow our head and we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and ask your blessings upon this time of the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, we pray now that you will help us in this area of wisdom. Help us to, Father, understand that we have no wisdom apart from you. And Father, it seems, at least in this pastor's life, every time that I try to have wisdom in myself, it all comes to fruition, it all comes to naught. And Father, help us to understand that our true wisdom comes from you, from godly wisdom from above. So Father, help us, specifically during this time of the COVID-19 crisis here in America and in this world, to help us to understand, Father, not to rely on our wisdom, but help us to rely on yours. So, Father, when we're all said and done today, we'll look to you, Father, for this divine wisdom and guidance that only comes from you. Challenge that one, Father, who might be listening this morning, who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. And, Lord, may this be the day when they repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Help them to make the wisest decision they'll ever have to make in their life. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I think the first thing that we see in this passage of Scripture is this, the seeking for wisdom. The seeking for wisdom. Notice in verse number 1 and 2, the reason for the seeking. I think the reason for seeking is twofold. In verse number 1, we find it is to learn wisdom. Notice what verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." The words "receive" and the word "hide" emphasizes a desire to have wisdom. Now listen, if you're not willing to receive it, and if you, when you receive it, if you're not willing to hide it, listen, you have no desire to have this wisdom from God. Wisdom is for us to have it in our heart. It means to possess it. It means to know it. It's more than just some form of intellectual knowledge. And so the first reason is to learn it in verse number 1, but I think the greater reason is found in verse number 2, and that is to live wisdom. Notice verse 2, "so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and incline thy heart to understanding." This is where it separates the men from the boys. A lot of Christians, they want a lot of knowledge, but they don't want to apply it to their life. They want to know prophecy. They want to know names. They want to know dates. They want to know situations. They want to memorize verses. But guess what? They don't want to apply what that knowledge to their heart. And the reason that we ought to seek wisdom, the reason why you ought to study God's word, is that you can apply it to your life and you can live it. Here's what the Bible tells us about the importance of and value of heavenly wisdom. In Proverbs 8 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to." In Proverbs 16 and verse 16, it says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." You see, as I study God's word and research this word wisdom and knowledge, I found this out, that the Bible places a very high premium on having wisdom. But ungodly men place a high premium on other things, such as gold and such as silver. Thinking about a professor who was given a choice by a genie that he came across one day. And the genie said to the professor that, "Listen, I'm going to grant you one wish, and here it is. You can have wealth or you can have wisdom. So he chose wisdom, and shazam, he was given the multitude of the wisdom of all the universe. And after he received this gift of wisdom, some of his other professor friends gathered around him and said to him, say something that's going to reveal this great wisdom that this genie has just given you. He replied back to him, I should have asked for wealth. You see, that's the way the world is. They want gold and they want silver. But you and I should understand this. It's not about wealth. It should be about wisdom. Our text tells us in verses 3 and verse number 4 that to find wisdom, there's four things that we must do. We must cry out for it. We must lift up our voices for it, or lift us, the Bible says. Then it said we ought to seek it and we ought to search for it. And as I began to understand those four words, it would seem like the two couplets, cry and lift and seek and search us, are basically the same thing, but a greater understanding of those words in the original language helps us understand that each and every one of those four words, the cry and the lift and the seek and the search, have four totally different but interconnecting meanings behind it. You see, when I come home and I don't see Diana, as soon as I come in the door, the first thing that I do is to cry out for her. I call out for her and I say, Diana, I'm home. And I don't want her to think I'm an intruder and shoot me dead. And I say, Diana, I'm home. Where are you at? You see, I want to find her. I want to see her. I'm calling out for her. And if I don't hear from her immediately, guess what I do? I begin to search for her. I go up the steps into the living room and to the bedrooms, and I look around and I'm searching for her. Here's the truth. You can't find wisdom if you don't search for wisdom. None of us were born with wisdom just poured into our skulls. You can't use osmosis to receive wisdom. Wisdom has to be sought after. Wisdom has to be searched. Well, as we think of the seeking in wisdom, we find the reason for wisdom, but then notice something else. Notice the regret in the seeking, the regret in the seeking of wisdom. Think for just a moment why some of the places that we try to find wisdom at today. Where are some of those places where people go to find wisdom? Well, if you're like most people, the number one place when you don't know something, guess what? You Google it, amen? And guess what? Google knows everything, right? Well, it knows a lot of things, but it doesn't know everything. We might turn to our favorite podcast, or maybe Facebook or Instagram or other forms of social media. Perhaps we might go to our spouse or a close friend or maybe a family member. It might just be that we'll be willing to listen to anyone that just seems to sound remotely wise. I've heard people before on the radio and on podcasts, and I thought, well, they seem to know what they're talking about. Turns out, guess what? They had no idea what they were talking about. They were just making it up as they go. And then I think some people turn to their own selves. And many people today believe they're the wisest person that they know. And so they just search deep inside of themselves for an answer. If they don't have an answer, they just make it up. And if it sounds good, they're just going to go with it. I think our biggest problem is today is that we look for heavenly wisdom in all the wrong places. And we look for heavenly wisdom in a sin-cursed world. If you need to go to a dentist, guess what? You're not going to go to GMG Auto Services for your dental needs. And that's the wrong place to go. If you need a root canal or a tooth pulled, you're not going to go there. Although I believe this, that maybe if you laid out some cash, Gary might pull your tooth for you if it's a slow day there at the auto shop. But I recommend you don't do that. I recommend that you go to a dentist. Here's the thought. Some people enjoy going to a Chinese restaurant. We haven't been able to go to a Chinese restaurant since we've been that we have to stay at home. We haven't been able to go out to restaurants and sit down. And my favorite Chinese restaurant, the one that I used to sometimes get on the way home from Sunday night services, has closed down as well. They're not even open for a takeout anymore. But I thought about as we think about this Chinese restaurant in Wisdom. You know what? Every time that I would buy some Chinese food, guess what would be in the bottom of the bag? There would be two doses of Wisdom by the way of a fortune cookie that comes with every meal. And you know what? And I just always made it a practice that I never really read those things because I just don't. I don't read horoscopes. I don't read anything like that. And I don't even read the Wisdom cookies. If you do, that's fine. I know it's all in fun, but I don't even do that. But I thought there's some things that you never find written in those fortune cookies. And that would be this. Number one, what? Three servings of General Tso's chickens weren't enough for you, tubby? You never find that written in a fortune cookie. How about this? Put all your money and jewelry into the egg roll and nobody's going to get hurt. Or how about this? Man who looks to stale cookie for advice probably make good busboy, ask waitress for application. And that's what I think about the wisdom that comes from those fortune cookies. Here's the truth. No one's going to find heavenly wisdom for our understanding today from a fortune cookie. Heavenly wisdom can only be found when we search for it diligently every day. And that's why a lot of people don't have it today. Either they're not searching for it or they're searching for it in the wrong places of this world. In verse number 4 of our text, it says that we should search for wisdom as we would search for a hidden treasure. That's how valuable wisdom is. It's a treasure that we ought to seek after. Well, not only do we find the seeking in wisdom, but notice something else. Notice the source of our wisdom. Our search for heavenly wisdom should lead us to only one place. And that place is none other than God Himself. Look at verse number 6 in the first part of our text. It clearly said, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." If your wisdom comes from any other place, my friend, I believe you ought to think about it. You ought to second guess it because the Lord is the one that giveth wisdom. And James 1 and verse 5, that famous verse says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." It will be given him. Notice several ways that I believe that God gives us wisdom. Notice the second part of verse number 6. He gives us wisdom by the Scriptures. Notice what it says. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If wisdom means being skilled in godly living, then the Bible was our handbook on how that we ought to live. And that familiar passage of 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, Paul describes for me and you the value of God's Word. Notice it says this, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." There are two reasons why people lack wisdom that God freely provides for them. Number one, get this now, they don't faithfully attend the house of God where wisdom is being preached and wisdom is being taught through the Scriptures itself. They don't faithfully attend. They don't hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And perhaps they might come on Sunday morning, maybe once in a while Sunday night, hardly ever on Wednesday. And when a revival comes, a missions conference comes, they lay out of God's house. And I believe that the reason they don't have the wisdom that God desires for you to have is because you don't faithfully attend the house of God, or they attend a church where there's very little of the Word of God being preached. You know, there's a lot of different churches out there today, and a lot of the preaching does not come from God's Word. I mean, they might take one little verse and then off and go, and they're running, they're telling story after story without getting to the meat of God's Word that builds us up, that edifies us, and they come away from church thinking, "Boy, I'm so glad I came to church today. I feel so good." You know what? I don't want to feel good when I leave church. I want to leave church realizing how wretched I am, but how good God is. And because he loved me, he died for me on the cross of Calvary. And if I would just learn to abide in his word and apply the truths and the wisdom of God's word to my life, then I would be a better servant for him. I don't always want to leave the house of God thinking that, boy, it's such a wonderful thing that we are God's children, although it is. The truth is, you can go to some churches for years and years and you'll never learn anything significant from the Word of God, because the Word of God is not emphasized in its teaching and emphasized in its preaching of God's Word. I'm thinking about a family that has been a member of our church for a good while now. They came from another Baptist church, and they told me this. They said, we have never learned so much in these last couple of years than all the years that we went to this other church. And they were faithful members and regular attenders of this other Baptist church. Why was that? Because that church didn't faithfully preach and teach God's word. You see, God gives us wisdom through his word. Not only does he give us wisdom through his word, but he gives it through his spirit as well. In John 16 and verse 13, we find these words. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. I can guarantee you this, you will find wisdom when you decide to give your life over to Jesus Christ and then allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide you in making wise decisions. If you'll do that, God's Word says that the Holy Spirit will guide you in all wisdom. You might even say this, and I'm not really being with no disrespect to the triunity of the Godhead, we would say this, that we ought to allow the Holy Spirit to be our GPS that guides us in our daily walk, to guide us in our daily decisions that we need to make. Well, I think God uses the scriptures and he uses the spirit, but then I think there's something else that he uses, and that's godly souls, godly souls. I think about the late Dr. Jerry Falwell. He was loved by millions and hated by millions. And whatever you thought about him really doesn't make any difference. But God used him in a great and mighty way to build a very great church and a large university with over 30,000 people just attending campus, not including those who attend by distance. And I always wondered, how was he able to do that? I mean, how was he able to grow Liberty Church and Liberty University to what it is today? And Dr. Falwell said this many times over and over again. He said that the secret to his ministry was this, that he surrounded himself with spiritual giants. Let me help you this morning. You don't have to be the brightest bulb in the pack, but surround yourself with others who are the brightest bulb in the pack. That's the reason that so many people fail today. They surrounded themselves by people who think they know it all, but guess what? They do not know it all. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, we find this wonderful passage of scripture. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now get that. If you walk with wise men, you're going to be wise. But it continues on and says, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see, wisdom belongs to God. And he is the source of all of our wisdom. And to impart that wisdom, his wisdom, to you and I, he uses the scriptures, he uses the Holy Spirit, and he uses other godly souls. And our search for wisdom should lead us smack dab straight to God, who is the source of all our wisdom. Well, we have the seeking and the wisdom, the source of the wisdom. Then notice in verses 7 through 9, notice the shield of wisdom. As we look at verses 7 and 8, notice the compensation in wisdom. The Bible said, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints. All of us at one time or another, as we have previously stated, have made some dumb mistakes. And for people, or some people, the only way that they can learn from their dumb mistakes is the hard way. According to a recent news report, a certain private girls' school in Virginia recently faced a very unique problem. A number of the 12-year-old girls were beginning to use lipstick and would put it on in the bathroom. And that was fine. There was nothing against the rules for them doing that. But once they put it on their lipsticks, they would press their lips to the mirror, leaving a dozen little lip prints every night. And every night, the maintenance man would come and remove them. And the next day, the girls would go in there, put on their lipstick, and kiss the mirrors. Finally, the maintenance man got fed up with it and went and told the principal, and they decided something had to be done. So they called all the 12-year-old girls into the bathroom and met with them there. The principal was there. The maintenance man was there. And the principal explained that all those lip prints on this mirrors was causing the maintenance man a lot of hard work to clean those mirrors each and every night. And just to demonstrate how difficult it was to clean those mirrors, she asked the maintenance man to show these 12-year-old girls how he cleaned the mirror. So he took a rag from his bucket and he walked into the commode, dipped it in, pulled it out, and went over and cleaned the mirror. Needless to say, he never had to clean any more lipsticks off the mirror. The truth is, we don't have to learn the hard way. In Proverbs 30 and verse 5, the Bible says, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. You see, God's word will act as a shield to you and I. I think of how much heartache and pain that you and I could avoid if we only accept God's heavenly wisdom. God in His Word does everything He can do to shield us from making those bad decisions. The Bible in His Word tells us, He warns us, He gives us instructions. He also tells us there's some things that we should do and there's some things that we need to avoid. God's wisdom has been made clear to us in His Word if only we are willing to listen to it. Well, not only the shield of wisdom and the compensation, but then notice in verse number 9, notice the command in the wisdom. The Bible says, Then thou shalt understand the righteous and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. You see, when you study the Word of God, you'll know what true wisdom is. As you begin to peer into the Bible, begin to study it, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you what true wisdom is. Proverbs 14 and verse 33 says this, Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. You see, true wisdom is always associated with righteousness. Wickedness is never associated with wisdom or righteousness, but with fools and foolishness. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the Bible says this, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, as we close this morning, we all need wisdom from above for understanding below. And this morning, you have an opportunity to make a very wise decision. You can give your life over to God this morning. It will be the wisest decision that you ever made in all your life. You can repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And by doing that this morning, you're saying to Jesus, Jesus, you're wiser than me. I can't save myself. I need you to save me. And then if you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you have trusted Christ as your personal Savior, how much wisdom do you really have? Think about it for just a moment. Be honest with yourself. How much wisdom do you really have? Have you been seeking wisdom? And is it coming from the right source? If you have been seeking wisdom and it's coming from the right source, God's word, then guess what? You have a shield of wisdom that surrounded you. But listen, I was born at night, but not last night. And I'm not too naive to think that everybody listening to me preach this morning has been seeking for godly wisdom and finding it from the right source, which is the Bible. And maybe God has spoken in your heart this morning about that matter. And maybe you need to repent and return back to God and receive His word, beginning to understand where true wisdom comes from. I'll close with verse 5. The Bible said, if you'll do that, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's what it's going to take, Christian, for you to repent and return back and say, oh God, I've been trying to do it all on my own. I've been relying on my own wisdom. And God, I'm going to repent and return and trust you for all the wisdom that I need. Father,